And he certainly did, because it's that prayer is actually what we're going to talk about. And it's that more grace. But when we hear more grace, as I sat before the Lord, it came to me, you know, there is strength for the racers. And there is strength for us when there are thorns in our way, in our pathway. And we don't ask God to remove all those things. And, you know, it's, God, let thy will be done. But I want us, you can turn there if you want, but it's Philippians 4:13. And now remember, this is a lover of a race. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Okay, I can do all things, but it doesn't say because I can do it. So see, that takes all of our insufficiency, the things that we can't do in ourselves, and it doesn't mean if you're a good teacher, a bad preacher, a good preacher. No, it's all. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you need to be strengthened, what do you have to become? Weak. When I am weak, then am I strong. So see, you have to take that place. It's we come humble before God. And I was even thinking of Moses and how Joshua comes in the picture, because that's where I've been studying. But he had to learn a lot of things. There are steps of learning and growth from this man, and that'll all come later. But I just today, it was when I am weak, then am I strong. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12, Penny. Okay. Well, let's go up to, oh my goodness. Well, Paul is going to talk about all these revelations that he's received, and the Lord says, he says in verse 5, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. So when you have to go through these trials and you have to take your place in dependence, you know, this is the new man is growing. We hear a lot about redemption and sanctification and all these words, but we have to remember redemption. We have been redeemed, but you have to claim that. That is something, it's not just the possessions that you have. Possess those possessions. They're yours for the taking. Just like the armor of God, when God said, take ye the full armor of God. Take it. You need to put it on. Because if you don't, why do you have to put that on? Because you're trying to take your place in the heavenlies. You're saying, I believe you, Lord. I am seated in heavenly places. You are seated there according to the word of God. But you're here, but you have to what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is just the substance of things hoped for. But it's the evidence of things you cannot see. So you think about when I'm weak, or think about the thorn. And when you get here, you say, he goes, though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man would think me above that which he seemeth me to be, or heareth of me. You see, all the glory, everything has to go to the Lord. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. And you know, you will. You'll get so excited about this truth. But God, don't worry about getting puffed up. I hate when people say, oh, they're just puffed up. Stop saying that. It's like puffed up. You've got the scripture. The word of God says, if he gets a lot of revelation and he's learning more and more, God makes sure to keep them not puffed up. God has exactly what we need to keep us what? Not just to make us go down. It's so we can keep growing up in him. But because of this abundance of revelation, there was a thorn given to me, and it was in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Now you think of that, the messenger of Satan. Well, why would God allow that? Because he's making us strong. We are growing up in him. Job had the same thing. Job had exactly, it was when they were presenting themselves before the Lord, he asked, he told Satan, he goes, where did you come from? He said, oh, I've been walking to and fro in the earth. And he said, he was seeking whom he could devour. And he's going to go for the youngest. Those who really, I mean, he'll go for the older too, but he doesn't want anyone to grow. He wants to stop every one of us from growing. But we have to be wiser than serpents and harmless as doves. He said, that messenger of Satan, it was to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, I went to the Lord and I besought him 3 times that it would depart from me. 3 times he asked him. But God is so wise. He said unto me, and we've got to get that first word that he said, my grace. My grace is sufficient, period. It's sufficient for you. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. It's for thee. We're all needing more grace. My strength. Whose strength? His strength. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, it's made perfect. He's going to do it. For it is God's both to will and to do his good pleasure. We want to grow. We have to accept the ways he allows us to grow. These things are not always easy things. But he says, it's my grace. And I give you this grace. Well, if he had to give you grace and he had to give you the strength, that means you had to become weak. We have to see our dependence. We can do nothing of our own. Nothing. And I don't care what part of it is, no matter if whatever it is in a meeting. You know, I always say that, I know the Lord says that it doesn't matter who does this or who does this. It matters that, do you realize? It's not because we're anything better than anyone else. It's because you're special and he loves you and he's helping you to grow. He wants you to know that when you become weak, don't get upset about being weak and not able to do something. That means that person, the one that is weak, is going to become strong. You're the one that's going to grow. You're going to grow up in him because you see your need. His strength is made perfect. His strength made perfect. When I am weak, then am I strong. He said, most gladly, therefore, and I think this is when grace has got a hold of the heart. He could have went, yeah, Lord, but you just don't get it. I thought you weren't going to put any more on me than I'm able to bear. He didn't. You're the one who's thinking that this is too much for you to bear. Whatever he allows, that's what we're to be saying. I believe what God has said. My grace, it'll be there at the time you need it. I'm going to do this. It'll be my strength. You'll never glory in yourself, but you're going to know what the grace of God truly, truly means. And I tell you, when you really depend upon grace, it'll humble you. Grace does not puff you up. It really keeps you. You know you could not do this. I even look back, and I know all of us could. Look at the jobs you do. Sometimes we think, wow, I do all this stuff at the job, and I do this, and I do this, and it's becoming this. And I remember those days, and I look back now that God has let me retire, and boy, did it humble me. He said, do you realize, because I went, how could I have done all that? How can one person do what three people did, and now they got rid of two and they made one do it for less money? How did I do that, Lord? Because when you were weak, I was strong. I'm not a little hobby baby, one of these women who can fix up all this stuff. I'm not her. But do you know God's grace? When you do a bulletin board, even, I don't care, it's the smallest thing, people will go, so talented. You would have to turn and go, no, I'm not. I was not talented. I became talented through him. He was glorifying himself by just giving me the grace to do that job. I look back and go, Lord, had it not been for your grace, I would have never made it. How many of you have worked a job and it was your first day? Was there someone there in Christ meeting you in grace? Or were they those people who they already knew how to do it? You know, they know how to take those stents out. They know how to do it. But they're supposed to be training you, bringing you up, even in the Word of God, training you up, even a child at your home. But normally when you go to a new place to work, you always have those who think they know everything. And they treat you terrible. And I used to go, Lord, I hate that. And he says, then don't let it be seen in you. I had to depend upon the grace of God. And he taught me, but he humbled me. Now you remember where you got that wisdom and where that grace came from. And when you see a new individual, I don't care if it's even in church, anywhere we go, magnify the grace of God. I have heard testimony after testimony. Even our own home, a man met George and he's seen him later in life. George, had it not been for you? And George goes, I don't even know the guy. But that was because it was glory just to walk with him. The Lord showed the glory. The Lord gave the grace. The Lord gets the uplift. He gets it all. If it was our flesh, there is no glorying in the flesh. None. You know, you wait, and I think of how he told me today for the lesson. Tell him, occupy. Occupy till I come. That means continue what you're doing for the Lord. Think of those talents that were given. Just continue on. Occupy. Continue on. Do this until what? Until I come. In other words, you keep doing what I've called you to do. And then you know I'm coming for you. And his reward is with him. I don't get my reward here. If I get it here, I don't get it there. I get it when to me, it's already like a reward, because when you walk with him by his grace, you get to see what he did. People are going to think you did that. And I believe that it is a grace spirit of the bridal saints. She will say, or he will say, it wasn't me. That's what I heard from the individual. He did this and he did that. And he goes, I don't even remember doing it. That's because Jesus did it. Jesus did it. We need to really occupy till he comes. Well, I looked at this and he said in verse 10, Paul learned a valuable lesson. Therefore, all these things that happened, I had to learn that it was his grace. I had to learn that it was supposed to be his strength. Everything should point to him. Therefore, because of everything I just learned and him not taking away the thorn, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. He didn't say, I love to have infirmities. He knows I take pleasure in that because I know I'm going to see Jesus in a greater way. I'm going to know his grace. I'm going to see real strength. I'm going to see a real overcomer. Those who overcome. You overcame when you accepted him as your Savior, but you keep growing. You keep going in that way. He said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in the persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. It's all for Jesus' sake. And he says, I gave this trial to you because I knew I could trust you in it. Even if you make a mistake, I knew you would come and go, Lord, I really, you're speaking to my heart. And yes, Lord, I do want your way in my life because I want to be perfect and mature. We're growing now. We're growing right now. You're to run to win him. You haven't won yet. You got to run to win him. That's why you're going to have to, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Racing is not easy. Racing's not an easy thing. Right about the end or the middle of the race, well, mine was always at the beginning because I'm not a runner. But it was like, there are things there. You see people going faster than you. But it's the same prize. It's the prize that has been appointed for the one who continues on, press toward the mark for the high calling of Christ Jesus. Keep going. Don't stop. No matter how weak you get, no matter how you think, oh, that's it. I can't do another thing. I'm done with this. And people go, how could you say that? I'm honest. That's why. I've done it. And I probably will do it again. But I know his grace is sufficient. He keeps coming in and giving more grace. Let me tell you, when he does that, you are going to fall so in love with him because it's nothing that I have done. Nothing. And it's like you want your bridegroom, you want to magnify his grace. You want to show it to everybody. Everybody doesn't want it. That's why you've got to stop saying, draw me, and we're going to draw everybody else. Or, oh, Lord, give me this message, because we're all going to like it. We're all going to take it. I don't know that. You yield to what he gave you to do and leave the results in his hand. And then you don't feel rejected. You don't feel, oh, it's just not working, Lord. There's only two people. That's one thing. Ron Holgrafer, in his class, sometimes there was one person, sometimes there was no person. But let me tell you, he was faithful in the ministry where God had called him to do. And I remember that. It was a testimony. How many would go if there's no one there and keep doing that and never murmur, never complain, never get to see any results? Those are, you know, they sound like puny things, but no, those things do happen. People do think like that. And it takes those times to draw you to him, to his glory, to his praise, to his uplifting, to his encouragement, to keep on going, keep on going. What is the words, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You know, what is that to me? Follow thou me. In Joshua, he said, every place that the sole of your foot treads upon. So see, you got to do something. People say, oh, no, you don't. Yes, you do. It's the attitude you're doing it. He said, all this land is yours, but you have to go in and possess the land. I gave it to you. It's yours. You just walk in and know this is mine. If you don't believe that, take your place in the heavenlies and see if the principalities and powers don't come against you. It's because you're laying hold of this truth and you're saying, no, this is mine. God said it and I believe it. He said, you go in, even to the children of Israel. He said, you go in, you possess the land. Go in there. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. Sounds good. But he didn't tell them the Ites were not going to be there. He told them all about the Canaanites. They're going to be there, but I will drive them out without fail. But what are you going to have to do? I choose to believe God. I choose to believe God. And when you do that, you're laying hold and believing the promises of God. That's how we're standing. That's, you know, just like the armor. It was there. He gave us everything for this journey, everything we're going to need. But are we even taking it? Did you put on? Did you take the shoe of the faith? Have we taken the helmet? Do we have that hope? Are we getting discouraged? Go back and read about hope. Are we discouraged about anything? Find that word in the scripture and encourage yourself. Not what people are saying. He led me to little David, okay? He led me to little David about this, and he said, there's power in weakness. You gotta get there's power in weakness. It's dependence. Long hair on a woman. It's not because of the long hair. It's that it shows she's dependent. It's the glory of her husband. It's the glory for her husband. And if you remember how Mary washed his feet with her hair, and her tears, there's beauty in it. But he has to reveal that to us. Little David, all these people were fretting and worrying because of this big giant whose name was Goliath. And he was being mean to all God's people. And then here's Saul. Saul tells David, he goes, well, David tells him, I'm going to go out there. You know, I'm going to go out. And he said, now, here, have you ever heard this? Well, you can't do that. Oh. Now, who do you think you are? You're just but a young kid. Yeah, a stripling. And I looked it up. It's a lad. It's a young man. It's someone who's not very grown. God said, even Timothy, don't you let any man despise your youth. Those are not my words. He told Timothy, the one who wanted to honor God with all of his substance, Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, because I'm looking at your heart and I see your dependence. You see, I'm not looking, Timothy, do you have gray hair? Are you really got a lot of wisdom? That's not how God looks. He's beginning to show us, how does he look? Man looks at the stature, but God looks at the heart. And David goes, and even Saul, you know, first he says, you can't do this. You know, you're not going to be able to do this. And he goes, here, I guess if you're going to go, take this. And he gave him his armor. And it's almost like, I wonder how big he was compared to David. And David puts it on, and he takes the sword, and he said, okay. And he goes, I can't use this, because all the armor can be there, but until I've proven it, I've tested it. It's been tried and proven. It is already going to work, but he tested. He's exercising his faith. He said, I have to go only in what God has given me. Well, he had some little stones. Was the power in the stones? No. Was the power in the slingshot? No. Was the power in just little David? Oh, it was in him, all right. He said he was going to go out, and he was going to kill and destroy Goliath, the one who was defying God's people. He was going to use it. He was going out, and he was going to defeat him. God delivered me from the paw of a lion, paw of a bear, and those are pretty vicious. I mean, I've been looking just this week at people who were attacked by bears. Well, what about the hand of a man? He went from paw and paw and now a hand. Doesn't look like this hand could do too much. But he said, now, if God can deliver me from that, he can deliver me. He can deliver me from the hand of Goliath. And they get out there, and he just, that's what I'm talking about, possessing. He just believed God. He could look at, oh, I'm so puny, and I'm so not so good, and I'm this. You know what? That's when the grace of God is magnified. That's when you get to see true grace. Everybody's watching. Little David just steps out by faith. And he does. He takes the stone, knocks him down, but it didn't kill him. That's not what killed him. He knocked him down. What killed him? What did he kill him? He didn't take his sword. He didn't take a sword with him and say, I'm going to come against you with the sword. No, he said, you come against me with your sword. You come against me with this, and you got this. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. And after he's down, he goes over to Goliath. He takes his sword out of his sheath. He took his sword that he was going to kill David with, and that's what Christ did. It's like defeated him with his own weapon. His own weapon. He defeated him. And that's what Christ has done for us. When you look at the cross, we see a lot of people look at it. Like when I see him hanging on a cross, it looks like weakness. Because people view it as that. Like that, how in the world? But when you see that he did that for you, and then he was taken off the cross, taken out of that weakness, that body of weakness, put him in a tomb, and he rose up in power and might and a new life. That's what he did for us. He has made us a new creation. He's given us strength. Day by day, the Word of God says, as thy days be, not your months, as thy days be, so shall thy strength be. Why does he say that? Because there is people who know they are dependent. They have to have his strength. They that wait on the Lord, what are you waiting for? You that wait upon the Lord, I'm going to renew your strength. Now, who are you looking at? Yourself? No. He said, I'm going to renew your strength. You are going to mount up with wings like eagles. You are going to soar. And it takes those hard, crispy winds that are going to come. That eagle just sits there, and he's just resting. And all of a sudden, he upped those wings, and the air carries him to a higher place. Same thing Noah's Ark did. The more judgment and the more trials came, the higher the water got. He was still on top. He was still there where God promised him. Foolish things to confound the wise. Foolish. Hadn't even rained. What are you doing, Noah? That's why I love that. As thy day, he said, at the coming of the Lord, so shall the coming of the Lord come, as just as it was in the days of Noah. So we do need to go in. We need to study Noah. Don't leave part of it out. You can't leave what you want to leave out. You got to study it and say, okay, he did this. God said, do this. And then God did this. And God did this. And he raised me higher and higher and higher until everything was covered. But he overcame. He was in Christ. He was in that ark. He had to believe God from the beginning of the thing all the way to the end of it. And we're to be occupying. Occupy until he come. I looked at Philippians 3. I want you to go there real quick, because we have to have our strength for this race. Okay, right here, the high calling of God. Not as though I had already attained. Are you ready? Paul said, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. You've already got it all. You're already perfect. No, he said, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after. Keep following. Occupy the place I've given you, the truth I've given you. I'm going to take you on. I'm going to perform the thing. The one who's really, when I'm weak, then am I strong. That's the one is going to be able to do whatever comes our way in this race, because his word says you're going to be able to do it, because he's going to give you the strength to do it, not yourself. He said, I will follow after if that I may apprehend, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I'm going to love him because he first loved me. I'm going to overcome because he first overcame. Because everything we are is everything he did. Everything he did. He said, I'm apprehended of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not. Okay, I count not. There are some things you have to reckon it. You have to count with God. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, but I gotta reach forth unto those things which are before. I heard today he prepared a big table before us, and he will. He will, day by day, by day, by day, by moment. He knows what's ahead. He knows what we need. I press toward the mark. And that word press to me is, you remember the woman who pressed in the crowd? There was a lot of people. And she's pressing. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. And you know what? She did. And he said, who touched me? Who touched me? You see, he knows. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, okay, let us. Therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything ye ought otherwise minded, God is even going to reveal that unto you. He will. And I'm thankful for the truth he's given me that I am sanctified. Yes, you are. But you have redemption too. You have all of these things, but you have to apply it. You got to believe it. If we don't believe it, that's why that sanctification is a sure thing. But you got to believe it. You won't go, I got to separate myself and put me over. No. Mm-mm. He did it all. And he will speak to you through the power of the Holy Ghost. And each one of these scriptures, you'll know. Try to mix oil and water. It's not going to work. The flesh and the spirit, it doesn't work anyway. That's what you got to come to. Lord, you're right. You know, this is right. Wow, that is defiling. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. Okay, there's a lot we've already got. What has God already given you? So much. Let us walk by that same rule. And let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me. Paul is not looking for people to praise him. He's not looking for a following for himself. He is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's believing he's able to do it. And if God puts someone there, they're to be leading you in this truth that's going to bring you to that very place that you're longing for. But you keep occupying until I come. Whatever I've given, stay in that place. Don't do anything else. Just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait till you see strength in a measure that you never saw before. You know, Paul even said that when he said his grace, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. But he also said that when he was going to glory in his infirmities, for what? That the power of Christ, not his, the power of Christ may do what? Rest. It's his rest. It's his grace. It's his power. It's all. It may rest upon me. You see, that's going to glorify the Lord. We think it's always the things that look so foolish to me. It's like, is this crazy? Am I, Lord, am I wrong about this? He goes, no, you're not. But follow thou me. What is that to thee? Everyone has to come to that place. You've got to ask him for the truth. You know, whether Jew or Gentile, he already took that wall. That's been removed. We're all in that one body. And I pray for the Jew and for our country. But he said a good warrior, he does not. Have you ever got caught in a cobweb? Got it on you? I'm always going like, oof, and it's the hardest gunk to get off. Well, don't be entangled to the affairs of this life. It will tangle you up. It binds you. It keeps you from running on with the Lord. He's going to put you in the place. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. You know, that was like when I heard Gene, he was talking about different ones saying, yeah, I felt those nails. I think to a point, like, I can only relate this as far as the, what God has shown me, but I remember I'm not Mary. I didn't have to sit there and watch my son be crucified. But you know, until we really kind of enter into some of that suffering, we don't really understand. Because once you just take a bit, you'll never take it all. But you enter into that suffering. I kept crying and praying, and I said, Lord, my son didn't do anything. And these boys are beating him up. He hasn't done nothing, Lord. Well, that's what Mary said. It's not anything he did. He did it for us. But I felt like I got to enter into just a little bit of that suffering, just a hint of it. But it made me appreciate more the setting of Calvary and everything that took place. We want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. In other words, get in and really understand what that means. He said, Paul, Ananias, Paul's going to see some stuff. He's going to have to suffer for my sake. He's going to preach his gospel. But even the gospel, we should be so pleased and thankful that it's been declared and opened up to us in such a simple form. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. But look what happened. God, not me, God gave them up. We will agree. We will agree. But we have to let God do the work. Paul said, I don't even judge my own self. The righteous judge does. He knows, because he knows deep, deep, deep in us. And he's not giving up on us. He's going to keep revealing more truth. More of Christ we will know. Let's all stand.